Ministry of Education, Sport and Youth, State Institutes of Further Education, Class E 5. End of Year Examinations, May 2026. Part 1 Listening, Exercise 1. You will hear 6 conversations or monologues. For each extract, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C. Question 1. Listen to a woman talking about her career. She thinks her experience in the financial field.
I've worked in finance for about 25 years, which was often stressful, especially dealing with demanding customers. Quitting was the best decision I have ever made, but my experience helped me start my own cake shop.
Now listen again.
I've worked in finance for about 25 years, which was often stressful, especially dealing with demanding customers. Quitting was the best decision I have ever made, but my experience helped me start my own cake shop.
Question 2. Listen to Susan and Tom talking about the local bank. What does Tom say about the bank?
Have you just got back from the bank, Tom?
Yes, I'm late because there was such a huge queue. I had to deposit a cheque, but never again. I waited for 2 hours to deposit a 20 euro cheque.
Why did it take so long?
The place was full, and they only had one customer service representative serving a whole crowd of people.
I'd feel sorry for the banker who had to serve everyone.
They really need to set up something outside the bank to drop in cheques anytime.
Yes, I saw that's what they do in the US, and it's very convenient.
Now listen again.
Have you just got back from the bank, Tom?
Yes, I'm late because there was such a huge queue. I had to deposit a cheque, but never again. I waited for 2 hours to deposit a 20 euro cheque.
Why did it take so long?
The place was full, and they only had one customer service representative serving a whole crowd of people.
I'd feel sorry for the banker who had to serve everyone.
They really need to set up something outside the bank to drop in cheques anytime.
Yes, I saw that's what they do in the US, and it's very convenient.
Question 3. Listen to a musician speaking about his work. What has inspired him the most?
I've played music all my life, starting with the guitar and writing songs from a young age. Growing up near the forest, I had a wonderful childhood among flowers, trees, and animals. Things got a lot harder when I got into my teens because my sister got in a terrible car accident and died. Her memory now inspires my music. Living in the city, I write about local issues, but I try to keep my songs light, fun, and uplifting.
Now listen again.
I've played music all my life, starting with the guitar and writing songs from a young age. Growing up near the forest, I had a wonderful childhood among flowers, trees, and animals. Things got a lot harder when I got into my teens because my sister got in a terrible car accident and died. Her memory now inspires my music. Living in the city, I write about local issues, but I try to keep my songs light, fun, and uplifting.
Question 4. Listen to a woman leaving a message at the doctor's office. What's her problem?
Hello, this is Hannah Williams, leaving a message for Dr. Byrne. I realise you're probably busy, but I really need to come by the clinic this afternoon if possible. It's for my daughter, Sarah. She was feeling sick late last night, and I would have taken her to the hospital, but we decided to wait. Well, she isn't feeling better today, quite the opposite. I'm worried sick at this point because she's very sleepy and won't eat anything. We'd really like to visit you then go to the hospital, so I would be grateful if you can see us as soon as possible.
Now listen again.
Hello, this is Hannah Williams, leaving a message for Dr. Byrne. I realise you're probably busy, but I really need to come by the clinic this afternoon if possible. It's for my daughter, Sarah. She was feeling sick late last night, and I would have taken her to the hospital, but we decided to wait. Well, she isn't feeling better today, quite the opposite. I'm worried sick at this point because she's very sleepy and won't eat anything. We'd really like to visit you then go to the hospital, so I would be grateful if you can see us as soon as possible.
Question 5. Listen to Michael and Jenny talking about an actor in a movie. What does Michael think about him?
Did you just come back from the cinema, Michael?
Oh yes, I did. I have just watched a movie called Adventure into Darkness. I wasn't sure I was going to like it, but it was well worth the money.
Is that the one with that actor? What's his name? Amir Chambers.
Yeah, that's the one. He's a very capable performer and always makes his characters come to life. Did you know he's a director too?
Is he? What did he direct?
That famous movie, Summer's Gone.
Oh right, I remember that. It's a great film.
It is, and Amir Chambers actually wrote the story. He's such a force. He hires really good actors for his films, and he creates a special atmosphere in all his movies.
Did you like the girl in the movie, Julie March? I thought she wasn't a good match.
Yeah, well, I think she's better suited for other types of roles, but she didn't perform as I expected.
Now listen again.
Did you just come back from the cinema, Michael?
Oh yes, I did. I have just watched a movie called Adventure into Darkness. I wasn't sure I was going to like it, but it was well worth the money.
Is that the one with that actor? What's his name? Amir Chambers.
Yeah, that's the one. He's a very capable performer and always makes his characters come to life. Did you know he's a director too?
Is he? What did he direct?
That famous movie, Summer's Gone.
Oh right, I remember that. It's a great film.
It is, and Amir Chambers actually wrote the story. He's such a force. He hires really good actors for his films, and he creates a special atmosphere in all his movies.
Did you like the girl in the movie, Julie March? I thought she wasn't a good match.
Yeah, well, I think she's better suited for other types of roles, but she didn't perform as I expected.
Question 6. Listen to a woman speaking on a YouTube channel. What type of channel does she have?
Hey everyone, and welcome back to my channel. If you've been following along, you already know that I've been exploring some amazing places. Remember the Finland episode from last October? Such an incredible country. Did you guys know that in Finland, there are actually more women than men in the government? Totally blew my mind. But hey, let's talk about Mexico for a sec. I had an amazing time exploring Mexico City, especially when I dropped by the National Museum of Anthropology. I'm heading to the USA, and I'll be in Washington, D.C. next week. So don't forget to hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to stay updated.
Now listen again.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to my channel. If you've been following along, you already know that I've been exploring some amazing places. Remember the Finland episode from last October? Such an incredible country. Did you guys know that in Finland, there are actually more women than men in the government? Totally blew my mind. But hey, let's talk about Mexico for a sec. I had an amazing time exploring Mexico City, especially when I dropped by the National Museum of Anthropology. I'm heading to the USA, and I'll be in Washington, D.C. next week. So don't forget to hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to stay updated.
That is the end of Exercise 1. Now look at the instructions for Exercise 2. Exercise 2. Listen to a musician called Danny Walters talking about his journey into the world of music and use only one word to complete the sentences.
Hello everyone. Thank you for having me today. I'm Danny Walters and I am a musician. My journey into the world of music began quite early. It was around the age of 6 when I first felt that deep connection with music. I have many childhood memories that were always associated with the sound of something, like the catchy rhythms played at funfairs or CD covers of musicians playing in the busy city streets. But I especially remember being 6, entirely thrilled by the classical records my father used to play in our living room. There was something about the rhythms and the melodies that appealed to me. I started experimenting with instruments when I was about 8. I first started playing the piano, but soon picked up the violin and even played the drums. I loved playing the drums for hours. Then, one day, I knew I had found my instrument when I picked up my uncle's old guitar. I was about 10 then, and that's when I seriously started learning to play an instrument. At school, three friends and I formed a band. We started playing pop songs from our favourite artists, but ended up writing and playing rock songs. Playing in a band required cooperation, listening to each other, and transforming our sounds into something harmonious. It was during a performance in our school's annual talent show that I realised music was more than just a hobby for me. It was my calling. It wasn't just about playing an instrument anymore. It was about understanding music theory, composition, and the history of music. I found music theory difficult, but I struggled with composition most because it required not just technical skill, but also a deep sense of creativity and emotional expression. As for my current band, the Midnight Echoes, our meeting was a bit of a fortunate coincidence. I met our drummer, Liam, during an appearance at a local pub. He also knew a bass player, Rachel, who was looking for a new project. When the three of us performed together for the first time, there was an undeniable chemistry. Our vocalist, Zoe, joined us later. She was a friend of Rachel's, and her voice just added the final piece to our puzzle. In conclusion, music has been my passion, my career, and my greatest teacher. From those early days of experimenting with classical music records to performing on stage with my band, every step of this journey has been essential in making me the musician I am today.
Now listen again.
Hello everyone. Thank you for having me today. I'm Danny Walters, and I am a musician. My journey into the world of music began quite early. It was around the age of 6 when I first felt that deep connection with music. I have many childhood memories that were always associated with the sound of something, like the catchy rhythms played at funfairs or CD covers of musicians playing in the busy city streets. But I especially remember being 6, entirely thrilled by the classical records my father used to play in our living room. There was something about the rhythms and the melodies that appealed to me. I started experimenting with instruments when I was about 8. I first started playing the piano, but soon picked up the violin and even played the drums. I loved playing the drums for hours. Then, one day, I knew I had found my instrument when I picked up my uncle's old guitar. I was about 10 then, and that's when I seriously started learning to play an instrument. At school, three friends and I formed a band. We started playing pop songs from our favourite artists, but ended up writing and playing rock songs. Playing in a band required cooperation, listening to each other, and transforming our sounds into something harmonious. It was during a performance in our school's annual talent show that I realised music was more than just a hobby for me. It was my calling. It wasn't just about playing an instrument anymore. It was about understanding music theory, composition, and the history of music. I found music theory difficult, but I struggled with composition most because it required not just technical skill, but also a deep sense of creativity and emotional expression. As for my current band, the Midnight Echoes, our meeting was a bit of a fortunate coincidence. I met our drummer, Liam, during an appearance at a local pub. He also knew a bass player, Rachel, who was looking for a new project. When the three of us performed together for the first time, there was an undeniable chemistry. Our vocalist, Zoe, joined us later. She was a friend of Rachel's, and her voice just added the final piece to our puzzle. In conclusion, music has been my passion, my career, and my greatest teacher. From those early days of experimenting with classical music records to performing on stage with my band, every step of this journey has been essential in making me the musician I am today.
That is the end of exercise 2. Now look at the instructions for exercise 3. Exercise 3. You will hear 4 teenagers talking about finding a valuable object. Match the speakers, column A, to the comments, column B. There is one extra comment. Speaker 1.
My name is John Luke, and my family owns a 300-year-old farm.
We often find ancient items in the soil, like pottery or wood carvings, which I love because I'm interested in archaeology. When I was young, I dug around the garden, hoping to find buried treasure. At 12, I discovered a valuable gold ring. I almost kept it, but felt guilty and told my dad. He took it to the museum, where it's now on display with a tag saying, "Discovered by John Luke," and an alarm for security. So, it wasn't quite the ending I'd hoped for, but I guess visitors to the museum can admire it now.
Speaker 2.
I've always loved music, but my parents couldn't afford a piano. Still, I dreamed of becoming a pianist. The school had an old piano and I practiced on it constantly. One day, I discovered a hidden bag of old coins inside the piano. I have never imagined they would be anything special, but the city museum checked them and found that they were valuable. They belonged to a wealthy 1800s landlord who hid money in furniture. The school received a reward for donating them, and my dream came true with a brand new school piano to play.
Speaker 3.
Last weekend, while my family was checking in for a flight to Canada, I noticed a Samsung smartphone left at the reception desk. It was a stylish three-side folding phone, like the one I had been hoping to buy. The staff said they would try to return it to its owner. Later at school, I told my IT teacher about it, and he suggested creating an app to help people track their lost phones. With his guidance, our class designed the app. I hope the phone's owner is now using it.
Speaker 4.
There are always many people flying kites on the beach near my house, especially on Green Monday. Last year, while my mom and I were walking our dog, we saw an expensive-looking kite flying across the beach. When the wind stopped, it landed just a few meters away from us. I picked it up, excited to fly it. But then we saw a young boy searching for it. The kite was his, a valuable gift from his recently passed grandfather, and he was very happy to get it back.
Now listen again. Speaker 1.
My name is John Luke, and my family owns a 300-year-old farm. We often find ancient items in the soil, like pottery or wood carvings, which I love because I'm interested in archaeology. When I was young, I dug around the garden, hoping to find buried treasure. At 12, I discovered a valuable gold ring. I almost kept it, but felt guilty and told my dad. He took it to the museum, where it's now on display with a tag saying, "Discovered by John Luke," and an alarm for security. So, it wasn't quite the ending I'd hoped for. But I guess visitors to the museum can admire it now.
Speaker 2.
I've always loved music, but my parents couldn't afford a piano. Still, I dreamed of becoming a pianist. The school had an old piano and I practiced on it constantly. One day, I discovered a hidden bag of old coins inside the piano. I have never imagined they would be anything special, but the city museum checked them and found that they were valuable. They belonged to a wealthy 1800s landlord who hid money in furniture. The school received a reward for donating them, and my dream came true with a brand new school piano to play.
Speaker 3.
Last weekend, while my family was checking in for a flight to Canada, I noticed a Samsung smartphone left at the reception desk. It was a stylish three-side folding phone, like the one I had been hoping to buy. The staff said they would try to return it to its owner. Later at school, I told my IT teacher about it, and he suggested creating an app to help people track their lost phones. With his guidance, our class designed the app. I hope the phone's owner is now using it.
Speaker 4.
There are always many people flying kites on the beach near my house, especially on Green Monday. Last year, while my mom and I were walking our dog, we saw an expensive-looking kite flying across the beach. When the wind stopped, it landed just a few meters away from us. I picked it up, excited to fly it. But then we saw a young boy searching for it. The kite was his, a valuable gift from his recently passed grandfather, and he was very happy to get it back.
That is the end of Exercise 3. Now look at the instructions for Exercise 4. Exercise 4.
you will hear an interview with two trainee teachers, Amy and John, talking about students using smartphones at school. Choose the correct option, A, B, or C, from the questions below.
Good afternoon, and welcome to one more episode of Modern Educational Issues. I have with me Amy and John, two young professionals who will soon be joining our schools to teach our students. Today's topic is about students using smartphones at school. Amy, what's your opinion?
At a school where I have worked as a trainee teacher, teachers were concerned that students weren't paying enough attention to the lessons as they were thinking about when they could next take a look at their phones. In my view, the role of education should be to enable students to evaluate a situation and then decide if using a smartphone is appropriate, polite, and how long to use it for.
And John, what do you think? Should only students be held responsible for using mobile phones at school?
Actually, I think that both students and parents are equally responsible for this outcome. Don't you think that most parents should talk with their children about how, where, and when to use phones before they allow them to have one, especially if the child's still young?
No, I don't. Think about how many parents say things like, "Don't use your phone during dinner," and then they actually do that themselves. They become the wrong role models for their own children.
I agree. They can't expect their child not to do what they themselves are doing, I guess.
Coming back to smartphone use at school, John, do you think students should be able to use phones while they're having a lesson?
For some things, yes, but with limits. For example, when it comes to doing projects, students are more than welcome to use their phones to search and find information that will allow them to successfully complete their project. However, I think that using the camera should be a no-no, even if students say they want to show a painting they've done. This will lead to inappropriate use of phones and expose them to dangers related to camera use.
Amy, didn't you work at a school where smartphones were banned?
Yes. The school where I was a teacher introduced the ban last term. Both students and parents were informed by the school secretary. Strangely enough, after the first week, they mostly forgot about it and even enjoyed lessons, concentrating better and participating more.
Interesting. And actually, in most workplaces, you can only use your smartphone during your official breaks. It's part of your terms and conditions when you accept the job.
So, Amy, any final words on this topic?
Well, with new gadgets coming out at such a rate, schools are just keeping pace with what's going on in the wider community. And, let's face it, new technology has a huge effect on our lives.
Thank you both.
Now listen again.
Good afternoon, and welcome to one more episode of Modern Educational Issues. I have with me Amy and John, two young professionals who will soon be joining our schools to teach our students. Today's topic is about students using smartphones at school. Amy, what's your opinion?
At a school where I have worked as a trainee teacher, teachers were concerned that students weren't paying enough attention to the lessons as they were thinking about when they could next take a look at their phones. In my view, the role of education should be to enable students to evaluate a situation and then decide if using a smartphone is appropriate, polite, and how long to use it for.
And John, what do you think? Should only students be held responsible for using mobile phones at school?
Actually, I think that both students and parents are equally responsible for this outcome. Don't you think that most parents should talk with their children about how, where, and when to use phones before they allow them to have one, especially if the child's still young?
No, I don't. Think about how many parents say things like, "Don't use your phone during dinner," and then they actually do that themselves. They become the wrong role models for their own children.
I agree. They can't expect their child not to do what they themselves are doing, I guess.
Coming back to smartphone use at school, John, do you think students should be able to use phones while they're having a lesson?
For some things, yes, but with limits. For example, when it comes to doing projects, students are more than welcome to use their phones to search and find information that will allow them to successfully complete their project. However, I think that using the camera should be a no-no, even if students say they want to show a painting they've done. This will lead to inappropriate use of phones and expose them to dangers related to camera use.
Amy, didn't you work at a school where smartphones were banned?
Yes, the school where I was a teacher introduced the ban last term. Both students and parents were informed by the school secretary. Strangely enough, after the first week, they mostly forgot about it and even enjoyed lessons, concentrating better and participating more.
Interesting. And actually, in most workplaces, you can only use your smartphone during your official breaks. It's part of your terms and conditions when you accept the job.
So, Amy, any final words on this topic?
Well, with new gadgets coming out at such a rate, schools are just keeping pace with what's going on in the wider community. And, let's face it, new technology has a huge effect on our lives.
Thank you both.
That is the end of Exercise 4. You have 1 minute to check your answers. That is the end of the listening exam.